Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You're not standing, stand with us now. We're going to read the Word of God. We've been in a series that, you know, hopefully I'll end today. Well, I don't know what I'll say hopefully, but this is section number 5. We may go to section 6. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 27, verses 20 through 26. We've been talking about shipwrecked. Times in our lives when we just feel like we're going down for the count as far as that's concerned. But my subtitle today is called, When Shipwreck is God's Plan A. That'll mess with you for a while. You read responding verses. We'll start at verse 20. And you'll read the responding verses. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Verse 26 together. However, you must run aground on a certain island. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, some people are in the process, or some people have run aground in their life, and it seems like they're going nowhere. But today, I want to offer them hope, because there's a prophetic word over their lives today that, Lord, this isn't the end, it's the beginning. It's a place where we'll have to find ourselves maybe run aground because of circumstances, some beyond our control, some within our control. But Holy Spirit, we know that you're going to teach us today, that we're going to learn from that shipwreck is sometimes your plan A for us, because we're going to find out there's some things that we couldn't have learned any other way. So Holy Spirit, direct us, teach us, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and the praise. For we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I know you know the scripture. Most people have heard it before. Romans 8:28, for we know that God calls us all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord. But I want to let you know, some of you don't believe it. Because right now you may be going through probably one of the most difficult times in your life, and you say, how could this possibly be God's plan for me? The key element of the scripture is this: for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. How many love Jesus today? Ain't nothing the devil can do to you that's out of God's plan, because he knows if you love God. Matter of fact, he's playing into God's plan right now, because it's going to work out for good. Here's the questions I want to put before you today that I think will be helpful. Number one is this: are you willing to entertain the reality that shipwreck that you may have encountered could bring you into the fulfillment of God's purpose for your life? So there's no way. I've lost everything. I've lost dignity. I've lost friends. I've lost family. I lost my marriage. I lost my kid. And so how could that possibly be God's plan for my life? Or even he could use this, what the devil meant for evil, God could turn around for good. How about this number two? Can you embrace the fact that what things you thought were lost monetarily, you will regain spiritually? The Bible says, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I want to know, what's your price? Really? Because I found out that a lot of times people have a price. You just keep moving the ante up higher and higher, and eventually, well, maybe just this one time. But today we're going to learn that God doesn't work in that monetary system that we're perhaps so familiar with. And lastly, I'd say this to you. Can you navigate the seeming judgment of people's assessment of your circumstances that are contradictory to God's plan and purpose for your life? We're going to get into this a little bit after Paul gets, we're going to take him to Malta in a little bit. And so some of the assessment of the people that were there, upon who Paul was or how he got there. It's pretty incredible how people just draw conclusions about us compared to our circumstances. So here we go. Well, navigating the waters to experience shipwreck, Acts chapter 27, verses 29 through 34. I'll do a little more reading for us. Then fearing lest that we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped the anchor. Whoa, there we go. It's back. Dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. How many of you are in a midnight of circumstance? Be honest. You don't see daylight at all. It's okay. It's okay. Because when we're done, you're going to be okay. Now, you can stay in the dark if you want to. I ain't going to let nobody know I'm in the dark. Go ahead. Enjoy your midnight. Enjoy your nightmare. Go ahead. I don't know. That thing's going. I didn't finish all that, I don't think. Did I finish all that? I didn't think so. Take me back to where I was before. Come on now. Work with me. But can we go back there? Are we back? There we go. Okay. Now wait for me. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. Now leave it there for a moment. I'm going to talk to them and I'll be right back to this, okay? Ever try to fake people out? That you're doing one thing, you're doing something totally different? Yeah. Come on, say amen. Because you don't want to know what's really in your heart. And so these guys say, no, we're going to get off this thing. These folks are crazy to stay on the ship. I'm getting off. But they said, but you know, here's the thing. They were on the pretense of putting out anchors for the prow. But Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. I want to deal with you about your escape plan. It won't work. You see me? It won't work. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay, now you can go to the next page. You were with me. There we go. Then the sailors cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. In other words, they changed their mind. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to ask how many of you have fasted for 14 days. I don't want to scare nobody here. But, you know, you can get to a place where you're so depressed and so out of it that eating and anything like that just doesn't even appeal to you. Some of you are waiting to die. Maybe not physically, but emotionally, you say, it's not worth the effort. And so it's been 14 days, and it goes on to say, therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from your head of any of you. I want to speak hope and life and encouragement to you. No matter how bad you feel, God has not forgotten about your situation. Today is a day that the Lord has made. You need to rejoice and be glad in it, because it's going to turn around. Your circumstances will be different. And so that's kind of a powerful, powerful thing. And so, you know, so that's what's going to happen. Well, let's get back into the text here, because here's some things that we'll learn. Well, when you have been through a difficulty of darkness, uncertainty, we'll find ourselves at the loss of direction. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Don't doubt in the darkness. God's already shown you this. He's giving you the kind of a forecast of where he's going. What does that mean? Well, we must be willing to follow the instructions that we normally would reject. We must, when the dawn comes, we can focus on where we're going by faith. Anchors that are secured us are temporary and must be let go of. Now, if you read the whole text here, it says that, you know, they kind of threw down these anchors and that was kind of holding them in place. But in order for them to get where they were going, and the next thing they're going to experience is shipwreck, God says, bring up the anchors. My question is, what are you holding on to right now that you shouldn't be holding on to? What is the anchor that you've chosen in your life? They said, well, this will hold me steady until something better comes along. God says, it's time to weigh the anchors and to trust him to where he's taking you. Because God will not move you into your destiny while you're just kind of anchored in what you call a secure place. Letting ourselves hit. Have you heard this term before? Rock bottom. I don't know whether I should ask the question or not. Oh, might as well. Don't hurt. How many of you feel you've hit rock bottom? Go say, hit them up there. It's okay. That's okay. And a very, well may be true. But I want to tell you what God's going to do. Rock bottom is where God begins. When he's the only answer that'll work it out. Because if you haven't hit rock bottom yet, then you got a little further down to go. I say, I'll hit them. This is it. I'm good. I don't need to go any further down. Jesus, Lord, lift us up where we belong. Where the eagles fly over mountains. Oh, I got to leave that alone. Okay. Lord's plan will overrule the plans of the enemy. Can I get an amen? Sure. That means that what you thought was the end, that the Lord will give us favor at the very time we need it. I want to move on to this next phase. It says, shipwreck can open doors and opportunities far beyond financial loss and inconvenience. Now, during this storm that's going on, they start throwing stuff that they were going to try to transport overboard. I need to tell you that there will be a loss, possibly, of things you thought was going to be for your future survival, for your future sustenance. But don't look at the loss. Look at where God's taking you. I don't know how expensive you think it is or it's too costly, but God's got a plan besides this. And so, anyway, the fragments of the ship running aground were enough to save everyone that was on board. Because here's what happens. They let go of everything. They let go of the anchors. And the next thing that happens is they hit a collision there. And all of a sudden, shipwreck occurs. They're not going any further. They hit that place where it seems like there's no further movement. And things are really falling apart. May I just entertain you for a moment and be compassionate enough for those of you who feel like your life, your world, is falling apart. You actually see some of the things that were a part of the ship kind of floating away. And you're watching, there's nothing you can do about it. You're just kind of hanging on for dear life. Well, the issue is this, that in the midst of that, there's a tendency for us to want to do something. Even though the shipwreck is a result of a bad decision and impatience, the Lord will use it for his glory. Because if you go back in the story, for those of you who have been with me this whole time, Paul warned them in the beginning. He says, don't do this. This is the wrong time to ship, to take a journey. By the first part of September, we've been the end part, and here they are into October, and the chances of them of surviving the storms that were going to come in life, it just wasn't going to happen. I would ask for a show of hands of risk takers, but I don't think that'll serve too much good. Because you knew better, and you did it anyway. Well, some of the fragments of the battered ship, believe it or not, were used to save people's lives. If I pick it up here in the little scenario that goes on, it says, so when it was day, they recognized the land, but they observed a bay at the beach, and they let go of the anchors of them in the sea. Meanwhile, losing rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the prow was set fast, and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken into by the violent waves, and the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners, lest any of them escape. Boy, couldn't get any worse. This is bad. Ship's falling apart. The potential of death is in the air. Well, our salvation after we have come through a major shipwreck is just the beginning of what the Lord has in mind. Salvation in the midst of shipwreck, it looks like this. When the Lord brings us through some major event that we know we should have not survived, we can rest assured there's a reason. I was on my way, my daughter, my oldest daughter, she turns 40 in a week or so. She's not here, so she can't tell me not to tell you she's going to be 40. 4-0, big 4-0, yeah. But so I went downtown and picked her up, and we're on our way going out to a restaurant out in, way out yonder. Rain is coming every direction. I mean, it was a bad downpour last night. And so I'm driving along, and I'm driving below the speed limit, probably about 45 miles an hour, going Interstate 84. And all of a sudden, the guy in front of me slams on his brakes. And I'm thinking, and the only words come out of my mouth, I said, "Oh, Jesus." Because there's no way I could have stopped that car. Jesus had to stop the car. I couldn't stop the car. But I was, and as soon as I said, "Oh, Jesus," there's a spirit of the Lord says, "Relax." And don't you know that car goes, stop. It ain't my time yet. God had me to be here today to encourage you that's going through something. I want to let you know, when you think it's over, it's not over. If God's got something for you to do, he's going to keep you here. Now, some of you should have been gone a long time ago, and we wouldn't have missed you. Well, that's another story. Let me help you with this. God bless your hearts. I love you. But when we land safely on the shore, there's something that will bring God glory, and there's a reason why we're here. Let's go to Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 5, because I want to talk to you about the miraculous ministry in Malta. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. Go on to the next few verses, please. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped by the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. I'm going to preach this to you today so you'll never forget it. Because there's something that's to be learned about this. The Lord will prepare people for our unexpected entrance into their lives. Some people have been showed, I know of many cases, I've been showed unusual kindness. And I can't quite figure it out. Don't you know, God will make a way or prepares a place for you, a table for you in the presence of your enemies. But people don't look like you, don't act like you, but God says, I'm gonna tell them to take care of you whether they look like you or not. So that's how it works. But Paul's response to the delay in getting to Rome was stellar, because he could have been frustrated and said, "Man, I don't really want to be here. You Maltans aren't my flavor." But it's interesting, his response. And if you pick up some of the things that happened, first of all, these natives, as they call them, all of a sudden they're just welcoming them. These people are just kind of shipwrecked, kind of show up on their shores and, you know, "Here, well, let's take care of you folks." Unexpected kindness that God does for us that we don't deserve. Every day we should be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Things we don't deserve. Come on, work with me, people. The Word of God says it's His mercy that we're not consumed. But and on top of that, there's some blessings. So had it not been for His leadership and prayers, yielding of the Spirit, all of them would have died. But Paul became a common servant by gathering firewood to help minister to those who were in need. Paul the apostle? Paul the one anointed? Paul, the one who's able to speak words of prophetic words as far as it's concerned, he's out gathering sticks to build a fire. Are you kidding me? Now, I got a word for some of you. Get over yourself. You really aren't that important. And you're not that special. Because he's gathering things, you know, would put on a fire. When there needs to be a fire built, don't ask who's going to build the fire. Go get some wood. In Jesus' name. Well, in the midst of ministry, something happens. And this viper situation is really kind of intriguing to me because the viper leaped from the flames was another demonstration of the power and the presence of God. Because anybody ever had something unexpected happen while you're doing something good? It kind of falls apart. So out of the window, all of a sudden, out comes her, whoa! Grabs his hand, like, oh, great. But what follows after this, I think, is probably more intriguing than anything ever. Because it happens. And the enemy's attack on his is directly. Right before you're going to make your greatest impact on people is when the enemy will come after you. He's going to find out what you're made of. And some of us will focus on the enemy rather than what God has told you to do. Some of you have quit doing things that God calls you to do because of one attack from Satan. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Boy, that didn't work out. Boy, there's vipers out there. They kill you if they're good. You're not a survivor. You're a coward. When you back off, when you know God's told you to do some particular thing, well, let me work this a little bit further. It goes like this. Because here's what happens. Worldly speculation about us can be brought forth in an instant. And the people, now this is what the response is. We know why that snake went after you. Because you ain't no good. And God's going to finally get justice. He used a snake to take you out. Come on. Ever been misjudged? Come on. Ever had your motives skewed by someone else's? I know why he's doing that. You know, I know exactly what he's up to. Ever been wrong? And that's the problem. It's so easy to judge folks. You don't know them or their situation, but you're going to draw this picture. Yeah, yeah. You know, he kind of looked like a crook, don't he? Paul the Apostle. They have known him for all of a couple of minutes, but they got the readout on his life. I want to help some of you that are sitting in this room right now that have been discouraged or have quit ministry because of one little profile someone gave you that is just not true.
Well, that's the way they're going to talk about me. I'm not going to do nothing no more. I'm just going to stay over here by myself, read my Bible, and go home to see Jesus.
Really? Ever read the scripture about Satan's accuser of the brethren? Did you pass over that scripture? How about this? Some will speculate as to why we were shipwrecked based on their knowledge of things that have happened to other people. But some people expect you, if you read, I got to read this next little verse, this is crazy. Okay, so this happens. And it says, and he shook it off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. I'll get back to that in a moment. But however, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. Some people are waiting for you to die. They don't want you here. Yeah, she's going to be dead. Watch. Just watch it. We'll see how she acts. She's going to be dead soon. Now, they're going to try to help you not to die. They're going to say, you're going to be dead. Can I give you, here comes the clue phone ringing. Some people don't like you. They believe that no one can survive or should survive what you've been through. I thank God I don't look like what I've been through. Amen.
You ought to thank God you don't look like what you've been through. Because God has taken care of you in spite of all the things that have happened. They believe that the Bible was an indicator of what he deserved and all this other type of thing. But you know, I want to tell you something. Look at me, everybody, and I want you to repeat after me. It's time to shake it off. It's time to shake off all those accusations, all of those forecasts about your future, and really receive what God has for you to do in this time and your destiny that you can fulfill. It's time to shake it off. Instead of looking at the viper that's going to take your life away, we say, this has nothing to do with my destiny. God is able to deliver me from all the things that the devil's going to put in front of me. Amen. Shake it off. Because I'm wondering, here's the speculative person. Well, do you think perhaps that Paul was ignorant of the fact that that was a viper that could have killed him? And that's the reason why he shook it off? I don't need to know the profile. All I know is the viper's in my way and I got to get rid of him. I'm building a fire, not roasting vipers. You'll get off your purpose. You'll get off your purpose. Jesus, Jesus. Well, when you shake it off, the things that the devil used to attack you when you're endeavoring to minister in hope and encouragement, doubt and unbelief that you're going to make it to God's appointed destiny in your life, that's what it's all about. Well, ministry in Malta, I have just a few minutes to finish this up. Psalm 119, verse 71 and 72 are two of my favorite scriptures. And it will help verify what we're going to talk about, this ministry in Malta, that sometimes that the enemy's trying to just keep us from fulfilling what God has for us. Psalm 119, great, devotional book, or actually chapter. But this is David's estimation. David had made some bad decisions in his life. Anybody know about one of them? Her name's Bathsheba. And it left a mark on him emotionally, spiritually, and every otherwise. Matter of fact, if you haven't read Psalm 51, that's kind of his abilities for him to go through this whole thing of being restored back to God. And he says, and Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But here's one of his accounts where he talks about this. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Let me read verse 67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Then verse 71, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. For the law of your mouth is better to me than 1,000 coins of gold and silver. Before your shipwreck, you may have gone astray. And some people thought, well, that was going to be the end of you. But I think after you get through it, your confession will be this: it was good for me. It didn't feel good, but it was good for me because I've learned something probably I wouldn't have learned any other way. I'm not saying go out and mess up your life and do something stupid. But I want you to capitalize on your stupidity. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Don't be stupid without cause. Cast the check. He says, before I was wounded, I went astray, but now I've learned to keep your law. But when he says this, it was good for me, he says it got to the essence where I had to recognize who I really am, what I'm really capable of doing, how religious, or I should say, how much the flesh was in control of the spirit. And sometimes that's the only way it'll be revealed, and sometimes it's shipwreck that everybody sees. Now, some of you are undercover shipwreckers. Don't be laughing. You want all your stuff up there on the screen? I think not. But let's move into this last little phase rather quickly. Well, interestingly enough, Paul did not preach a sermon that is recorded in this particular place. You say, why is that? Because, this is a perfect opportunity for him to, you know, kind of show his prowess and being able to speak and become eloquent and profound. And, you know, he's already done some prophetic things. But I want to show you one of the serendipities of how they shipwreck in Malta and they get to this particular place. God doesn't waste anything in circumstances where we end up. He just doesn't waste the economy of what we're going through. So the issue is this. After this occurs and in the next few verses, he says, in that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went to him and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. Some of you, the result of your shipwreck will be so somebody can get healed. Is it worth it? I mean, is it worth it? All this inconvenience, I'm lost, all this other stuff. Don't you know you can't put a price tag on healing? No, you can't. And God's going to send you through a lot of you go through some tough circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, God, in his economy, that's not a big deal. And so wherever God sends you or whatever you're going through, God can use it to glorify his name. And so he lays hands on him and others, and then it just doesn't stop there with Publius. He goes on to the next little portion of the islands. He says, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Your shipwreck could be a healing campaign. I want you to take a different perspective on where you are, that God can turn it into something that you would never believe could happen. Will you look at it from God's perspective for a change? And because ours is so narrow, it's got such a focus on, oh, I lost this, and I went through all this inconvenience, and I've been eating for 14 days, and on and on and on. Would you kindly get over it and get on to what God has? Paul's demonstration of the healing power of the Spirit opened the door for the gospel to be preached. I need to tell you something about this, that healing comes only in the name of Jesus and the power that stopped the viper from taking Paul's life was that, you know, he just shook it off because, you know something, the power of Jesus resided in Paul. I want to let you know that the power of Jesus resides in believers who are trusting him for everyday movement of their lives. And it's not a magic thing. It's just a total surrender to the power of the Lord to work in your life. And I believe every person in this room could surrender to that power today and you'll see miraculous things happen. Because here's one thought I want to leave with you that I think will be really important. Preaching the gospel and the ministry of healing are inseparable. Oh, isn't that interesting? Where'd you get that from? A simple story. Because in power and demonstration, here's at the most tragic, difficult time in your life, that you preach the things that God tells you to preach, his word comes true, everybody's saved, and now the next part of it is you're there, that God saved you for a reason. He wants to let his healing power flow through you to people who need to be healed, who need to be transformed, who need to be saved, who need to be delivered. Are you willing to do that? Don't let shipwreck be just shipwreck. So what does that mean? Well, two things as the worship team comes forth. Number one, our breakthrough begins when we stop making excuses. Amen. Real quickly, in Mark, I think it's chapter 6, Pool Bethesda thing. Remember the guy's laying there at the pool, been there for 38 years. You know why he's there for 38 years? Because nobody will ever help me get in the pool. And every time I start going to the pool, somebody gets in ahead of me. Isn't that interesting? So the reason why I'm not healed and doing God's will is because somebody's always getting there ahead of me. It's just not fair. You know, I don't feel sorry for you at all. I don't. Because the predication here is that, now, I will admit this much, that Jesus coming on the scene and his willingness to obey what Jesus said at that particular point was the thing that got, caused breakthrough to happen. But I want to tell you now, because see, you've already read the account. And so now you have no excuse. So I want to tell you today that if you want to move forward in what God has for you, stop the excuses. Stop telling me why it's not going to happen. But rather believe in the power of Jesus to save, heal, deliver, set free, because he's here today. Last little thought is, in this particular story, I think it would be helpful, is stop waiting for Jesus to come down. You know what Jesus said to the man who was lame? Get up and walk. Stop waiting for him to come down. It's time for you to get up and start doing what God has designed you to do. He's about to set forth people today in this house to an encounter with him where your shipwreck, as you see it, or your fact of laying at a pool for 38 years, it's over. Because when Jesus comes by, because he asks him this very important question: do you want to get well? Or do you like your poolside expression? You know what's interesting about that story? Somebody, or some people, faithfully, for 38 years, brought him there and laid him down. Think about that. I'll tell you what, I ain't bringing you nowhere. I'm going to tell you, I don't want no more excuses. Jesus is in the house, and he can change your situation. Every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to see what God's going to do today.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.